I've gone on air in the last, 50 days or whatever, how long this has been going on. And I said specifically that Trump was given a report 5 days before by the Pentagon intelligence community. I broke this, that there was a 92% chance of failure, no regime change, they could close the strait. Now, that didn't break until a day after the war started. But I specifically broke that. It's on record. I also broke that a few weeks ago, he was going to fire Tulsi Gabbard, head of national intelligence, because she warned him probably about the war and how that happened. That now broke the New York Post today. It was indeed Roger Stone. Talk to the president, guy, I'm going to stop it. Point is another huge inside thing I broke. He talks to Stone basically every day. The reason I'm saying all of that is this new information I have is bombshell, and we need to have some kind of intervention, or Trump is going to totally not destroy himself, but the whole future of the country. His administration is panicking internally. That's why he's offering them all a blanket pardons right now, because of the stuff that's going on. But just going back to this attack, I come out and I say, listen, the Israel lobby and literal AIPAC and Mossad, and they're bragging about it, is running our foreign policy. Trump, when he got that intelligence report 5 weeks ago, made the decision not to strike. They were going to strike that Saturday. Israel then went and attacked Friday to drag us into it. That's on record. Even Marco Rubio said that. Then Trump came out and said, no, that's not true. But then it was declassified. It was true. And Israel bragged. Then he gets this 10-point plan with Iran, basically admitting that his plan didn't work and really a strategic defeat, but he could still pretend like it wasn't. And then instantly Israel bombs Lebanon and starts hitting Iran again and says, we're not going to do the peace deal, even though Trump had got them to agree. So they're keeping us in the war, and Netanyahu has said that. So that's an example of this country that I've never had a hard-on for, that I don't hate, but I do dislike their current leadership. Every former Israeli intelligence chief from all their three intelligence agencies have gone on record in TV ads saying Netanyahu's insane and needs to be removed. He only has a 50% approval rating, but he manipulates their parliament to stay in power. And Tucker, just a week and a half ago, did the BB files and interviewed all those people. So it's not Israel that I hate. He interviewed every former intelligence head of three agencies, like 15 of them or something, all the living ones, and said, this is insane, including right-wing ones. Because they said, Iran's not going to fall. They're going to close the strait. People go, well, in a few years, we can do a workaround. Well, we in a few years, to build other pipelines. So it's been war game like nothing else. I'm simply telling Trump all this. I have a huge audience. Everybody else is telling him this. And Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, who in my view are Jonathan Pollard's 2.0s, Israeli operatives. We know they're Israeli operatives, but I think they're actual spies. That's my opinion. But they certainly work for Israel's interest. They came out and demonized me, Tucker Carlson, everybody else. And now they're saying we're foreign agents of Qatar and we should be arrested. I mean, that's in the news. I mean, just crazy stuff. And don't just censor us. We're foreign agents. Yeah. All because we care about the country and said, we're not fans of the mullah, but you're not going to be able to carry this out. According to the Pentagon. So I'm going with the Pentagon assessments. Why I told you 5 weeks ago when we started, we're working out. I said, no, it's going to be a failure. Yeah. They're going to close the strait. The regime won't fall.
Yeah, you called it.
And I said, and you said, well, I hope they do. And I said, I do too. But A, because they're bad guys overall in this dictatorship. But B, if we get into a big failure here, this is going to really kill our superpower status. Mm-hmm. Some empires die, very slowly, but this is what they do. Britain started World War I. They won it, but then it was a Pyrrhic victory. They ended up their empire collapsing in the next 20 years. And their historians admit that's what did it. So there's just some background pieces before I give you the big news. And so Trump comes out when we said, this is insane. You can't say, I'm going to destroy a whole civilization. You'll never return. The definition of genocide is destroy a whole civilization, people, or group.
Yeah.
And it's terrorism, too. I thought we're liberating these people. So now I'm going to blow up your water plants, your desalinization. I'm going to blow up your power plants. I'm going to blow up all your bridges, which you started doing. That though, civilian infrastructure, imagine if all our stuff got blown up. Just the sanctions on Iraq that the Clintons tripled in 2003 and through, or even before that, in the 90s, that killed at least 4 million Iraqis, half of them children. You type in Madeleine Albright, 60 Minutes, says half million dead kids, good price to pay. That was just the start of it. Later it was 4 million total people, 2 million kids. So blowing all this up will cause the collapse of civilization and society when you have sanctions on them as well. Just imagine if we didn't have all our infrastructure now. Yep. Almost none of us know how to farm or operate or be independent. So it's insane. It makes us look horrible in the world, and we're losing this war. So they won't ever say what the objective is, but the real objective was regime change. To be a loyal American, to try to save the recovery and admit this wasn't going to work, we need to admit this. So the Israel lobby starts saying, send in troops, nuke them. Jonathan Pollard says nuke them. The Knesset starts saying, we'll nuke them to keep U.S. in the war. This is really being discussed. This is really being done. So I was forced to come out. And listen, the left's like, oh, look, you admit Trump was always bad and you were wrong. No. In the 10 years, we got better Supreme Court justices, border controlled when he was here, banning men and women's sports. The biggest thing was killing the carbon taxes and the Paris Accord that would cut half the world's carbon. Actuaries show it killed about 2 billion people over 10 years. Fabulous things Trump did. Great economic recovery plan starting to work. Job numbers, 170-something thousand new. They thought it'd be 30,000 new. But that came in a week ago because it's always month-old news. Now the numbers came in this week, and it's devastating inflation. So that's all baked into this. And BlackRock and the globalists want austerity. They want a collapse of the West to bring in their social credit score. Larry Fink is so happy right now. This is a disaster. So I had to come out to Trump and really get stern with him and say, if you keep saying you're going to totally destroy a country in one day, only nukes do that, then you need to be 25th Amendment, Article Section 4 in there.
Yep.
You need to have your cabinet say you're not fit, and then they can have a Senate vote, and you need to be removed, and J.D. Vance needs to be put in. That was to get his attention. When he saw the backlash, 2 days later, he went, okay, no nukes, and we'll do a peace deal. But then again, Israel starts attacking Lebanon, blowing up all the Christian areas, and hitting Iran, hitting their oil facilities. And so they said, no, deal's off. So now we're in the stalemate. The strait is not open. They're letting through who they want, Chinese, Pakistani, North Korean oil, and others, Indian oil, that they're selling them. They're letting their oil they sell through. Everybody else is held up. They have us by the balls. And so Mark Levin, everybody says, ground troops. And Mark Levin goes, I don't know anything about the military. But, you know, and Lindsey Graham, we got 2,500 Marines and 10,000 Army, you know, airborne. Well, for anybody that knows, it took 110,000 Marines and sailors to take Iwo Jima. They only had 22,000 defending Japanese. We lost 24,000 troops.
Yeah.
It took 32 days in the famous American flag getting raised.
Yeah.
And even with all our modern weapons and attack helicopters, the Pentagon estimated it would take about 100,000 troops, bare minimum, to take all those islands and Strait of Hormuz. And they estimated tens of thousands of dead. So Mark Levin literally said, well, you signed up for this. You're professionals. Well, you didn't sign up to be sent on missions that are going to fail, as you know better than me as a Navy SEAL, combat veteran. And then Lindsey Graham said, I just believe in the Marines. Well, I mean, if you look at the Strait of Hormuz, dozens of islands, 2,000-foot cliffs, 5,000-foot mountains, armored weapons everywhere. Sure, when they pop up and shoot at us, we're going to blow them up.
Yeah.
But they've got 100-to-1 troops, so they don't care.
Yeah, and they ain't sending their kids over there, that's for sure.
It's exactly.
Not their kids that are going to go die. It's our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fuck this.
So get into the new stuff, but finish up with your first question. Just some background for everybody to get this. Trump comes out and just viciously says, we're nobodies. Nobody's watching us. Well, then why are you saying this? I don't care about the junior high stuff, except it's the president. And he, you know, just talks about how great everything is and how wonderful everything is. And we're just failures. And we're mad because he doesn't talk to us. I don't even try to talk to Trump. I was invited to the White House 8 months ago. I didn't go. I was invited to Mar-a-Lago 6 months ago. Didn't go. To be given awards. And Trump comes out and gives Flynn an award. And I was invited to that. I was to be given an award. I didn't go. Just because I don't want to be in the middle of that political stuff because I could see where this was going. It all started 8 months ago when Elon Musk left and said, no, Trump's in the Epstein files. That leads to Melania in a moment, which he did 2 days ago. So that's the background. And, yeah, one of the most viral things ever. Constantly all over the news. But it did have the effect of making him come to his senses a little bit. And then the neocons all ran out and said, no, don't listen to them. Continue the war. So there's a tug of war with us being giving him the hard love, giving him the tough love. And then them over there telling him whatever he wants to hear. And the Israel lobby and the Adelsons that gave him hundreds of millions of dollars for the campaign, trying to drag him into something that's killing his recovery, that's making us a carb on the world, that's getting U.S. troops and others and civilians killed. That we're losing. And so I did what I did, not to side with the Democrats, who could have blocked him in Congress. They didn't with the War Powers resolutions. They let it go through. They're hoping he fails, which he is. And so I'm not on their side. I'm not with them. People try to spin it. And you've got all these hopium people we're talking about this morning. They're all hierarchical. And they just look at Trump and say, he's the boss. He can do no wrong. And just say, get behind whatever he says, and it's going to work out. And that's what he told Tucker 3 weeks ago. And Tucker's gone public about this to the New York Times. Tucker said, this is going to fail. With the war already started, he said, the numbers from the Pentagon, it's not going to work. And he said, listen, anything I do always works out. And he said, so trust me. And so Trump has a normalcy bias of success so much, even when it looks like things are going bad, because he had the populace behind him, he could say God on his side, whatever, that he really thought he was invincible.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept saying, we've won the war, the straits open, all this delusional stuff. And that's when I started saying, you have dementia or something. And then behind the scenes, the vast majority of his cabinet, and I said this week before it came out, Susie Wiles, who I'm not even a big fan of, she's just a big lobbyist, but she sort of put down a week ago, we got to end this, we got to shut this down. She told the cabinet, you got to challenge him. You can't just agree to everything he says. Because used to, he listens to people. He starts screaming at people now that say no.
Yeah.
And so this is all stuff directly in there. And so I'm told this stuff because these people can't put it out themselves. I was the one that broke on September 16th, 7 months ago, after Charlie got killed, 6 days after. The Cash Patel came in with Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Kent, the head of a counterterrorism center, and the National Counterterrorism Center, and the vice president was there, and others. And just to give people the credibility of what I'm about to tell you, this is all on record, I broke this. And he screams at him and says, we're not going to look at Charlie, any foreign action with Charlie Kirk, even though they found intel on that, the Office of National Intelligence and the Counterterrorism National Center, National Center of Counterterrorism. And he blew up at him and screamed at him everything. And then months later, exactly what I said came out, that that was indeed the deal. Well, of course, I was told people that who wanted to get it out. So there's this battle going on inside. There's a tug of war to get Trump back to what made him successful, what was helping America, what we voted for, versus the neocons and the Israel lobby and Lindsey Graham, who were all never Trumpers and hated his guts and tried to put him in prison and supported all the attacks on Trump for years.
Right.
And then he lets them attack dog us, which we don't mind. It just shows that he's out of his mind or been demon possessed. I mean, I say that sarcastically. It's just he's really not done a 180, but he's done like a 100 degrees from where he was. He's over here now. Yeah. And if he keeps going that way, I mean, he'll be worse than Joe Biden soon. So that's why this is so serious. This isn't like Iraq or Afghanistan where it costs $20-something trillion over decades and we lose thousands and thousands of troops and buddies and people getting injured like yourself in combat over there. You were telling me some great stories never told on air. You need to tell those sometime. It's really scary stories. This is the real world. But with Iran, it's much bigger, 90 million people. They're way more high tech. They got a country like built for war with mountains 360 around it. Mm-hmm. And they're dug in. And the CIA funded a 7-year war using Iraq and killed 2 million of them. And they didn't give up. So this is the reality. I love when Trump got this peace deal that all fell through. A bunch of his supporters that are just influencers that just parrot stuff went, oh, it's a total victory, more 3D chess. No, it wasn't. So the neocons panicked and said, no, Trump, use nukes or invade. You're giving up. This is a total victory for Iran. Yeah, it is. And you guys walked him into the trap and want us to get deeper into the trap. But for those saying this is a victory, it's not. Even the neocons in Israel say it's not. They sold Trump on a lie. We've lost. We can still face save and pull out of this quickly. But now we have the new information and why he's offering blanket pardons to everybody in the administration and the fact that there's full panic in there for a whole bunch of reasons. And then his wife, the first lady, comes out 2 days ago and totally contradicts him and says Epstein is real. He's an abuser. He's a pedophile. He abused these women. There's a cover up. It needs to end. And there needs to be congressional hearings and all the victims need to be out there. And everything needs to be released. When he's the one saying low IQ people, talking about me and Tucker Carlson, won't say this is real. It's a hoax. He had his FBI director, deputy director say, oh, no, there's nothing there. He wasn't even a pedophile. He killed himself. The shooter and Butler acted alone. There were no accomplices, even though his girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, is in prison for human trafficking and this stuff. And it's just absolutely crazy. So now his wife is contradicting him at an unannounced speech, press announcement, where she walks in all elegantly, speaks for 6 minutes, and then Trump said, no, I didn't know she was going to do that. She just totally contradicted him. So I said that day, it was live, we saw it, we went to it, I said, she's totally contradicting him. People have juxtaposed, you know.
She must be low IQ.
She must be, or a Qatari agent. And so I just said, this looks like Melinda Gates, who found out that Bill was hanging out with Epstein and doing all this stuff and lying about it. She broke with him. And I said, this looks like she's getting ready to leave him. So I made some calls to a bunch of sources. And I've known this for a while, but Trump's been a lesser two evils night and day. So I don't just dish dirt to get a bunch of headlines. This is, I wanted him to succeed.
Yeah.
Now, if something was corrupt, I had to report on it. And I would do that because it's justice be done by the heavens fall. But on this, okay, if he's got marital problems, and I know the inside baseball from all these sources, it's pointless just to go there. The left will just use that. I'm not going to do it. So I've known this for really 6-7 years. But she came out and contradicted him. I said, sounds to me like she's getting ready to leave him or making a clean break that she's not with the Epstein cover-up and the Epstein, you know, Howard Lutnick class. Sure enough, I started getting contacts, and I also reached out to people. And they said, these are people that, let's just, very close to the president, all of them. I'm not going to get into specifics. I don't want people to know who we're talking about, but it's multiple people. A lot of times, I can never give a source because they'll never come out and say it. But Roger Stone was the source, multi-hour conversation with Trump, keeping him from firing Tulsi Gabbard. And I broke that, it finally broke yesterday. It was called confirmed in the news, but I broke that over a week ago. My point is, I'm not making this stuff up. So Melania despises Trump. They essentially are not together anymore. And I don't say this with pleasure, but I want to explain why this is coming out and why I'm going to have to go and say it. And she understands that it's a sinking ship. The cabinet's totally panicked. People are now challenging him openly. He hasn't run into that in a while because everybody was just worshiping, like those cabinet meetings are sycophantic.
Yeah.
Because he gets screams at people if they disagree with him. He admits that. He said, oh, sorry, my voice has gone. I'm screaming at people that I disagreed with. And so he got in the madness of King Lear. He didn't have dementia the last term. He didn't have dementia during the campaign. He is a workaholic. He only sleeps 2-3 hours. He does get burnout sometimes. We all do. Slurs his words, all that. But, you know, he wasn't showing signs of insanity. He is showing major flickers of that. And, or like a light bulb's about to go out, it kind of burns brighter and then dims. And he's kind of very, very erratic. And 5-6 times a day, changing the story. We won the war. It's over. Regime change happened. I'll blow them off the map. I don't need a straight order boost. You better open that effing straight. That is that is not art of the deal. That is things just disintegrating. Oh, I got a peace deal. Israel's not going to hit. Israel hits. This is Trump being made a fool of by the Israel lobby. And I'm not going to sit there and betray Trump, America, myself, my own future, and go along with this. But his own wife has 1 foot publicly out the door, already has both feet out of the door, and she, quote, despises him now. Yeah, she absolutely despises him. She is extremely angry at him. She stood with him during the Stormy Daniels and all of that crap and all the stuff he's pulled. And here's the key. And Tucker's got the intel, and I know he's accurate. And I've said this hundreds of times the last year. She was a supermodel. She wasn't part of Epstein's circle, but she was in New York. She did do those soft porn lesbian photo shoots, which I'm not judging her for. I think it's great art, poetry in motion. She did know Epstein a year before, but they all had that data and had emails she sent to Ghislaine that are pretty cozying up to her. Oh, so great in Palm Beach. I can't wait to go back. And Trump knows all that's there and didn't want that information coming out. So they've been using that because they got more. And I don't know where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't know. But the point is that is one of the main things they're using. When he told Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, this embarrasses my friends. I want this shut down. So that was a big betrayal covering up the Epstein stuff. Yes, we put pressure on Trump. He released the 3 million. They say that's 2% of what Epstein had. It's confirmed he was Mossad, MI6, CIA. That's in all the emails. New ones they just found is him and Bill Gates talking about killing all the poor people, getting rid of the poor people. That came out 2 days ago. So this is more than just pedophilia and underage girls and blackmail. This is the globalist system. This is the Rockefeller Foundation. This is the Trilateral Commission. He was on the board of it. Epstein was. So they're using this on Trump and on his friends. He was using it kind of as a way of blackmail the establishment. Okay, I'll cover it up. I'll be your buddies. But Israel double-backed and still blackmailed him with it, even though there's never been any evidence of him. All the Jane Doe's and stuff turned out to be fake. But by extension, he joined the cover-up. So there's not a civil war in MAGA. He betrayed what Make America Great Again was about. He went with all of his never-Trumper enemies. He did do a major war he promised not to do. It's failed. His wife is literally contradicting him in an unannounced speech press conference or presser. She didn't take questions one way in his face. And I questioned this 2 days ago and said, looks like she's got her foot out the door and she is contradicting him. And all his operatives ignore that and just say, oh, no, it's not true. She loves him. Everything's great. Okay, well, she just contradicted him and said Epstein's real. There's a cover-up. Needs to stop. So that alone shows you where we are. So that's really the – I mean, you've been very quiet doing this. I'm jumping any time.
No, but
this
ahead.
Is all inside baseball, absolutely real. And, you know, she's Eastern European. They're very loyal. He may be able to convince her not to publicly leave. But notice right after she did that press conference, he attacked us within an hour. Even the news noticed it, put out a bunch of other diversionary stuff because that really hit him.
So you think that was a diversion from what Melania's put out?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. He's already the speechwriter for Sean Hannity. We know he's a speechwriter for Trump. I believe Mark Levin wrote that email. Right. I mean, that True Social. And so he had it on the shelf. They had a bunch of stuff on the shelf that when that hit as a diversion, that's how you kill a story with stories.
Yeah.
I mean, he launched like 10 diversions as soon as that happened. So, yeah, it hit where it hurt. And I'm saying the administration's in crisis. Now he comes out yesterday and says, I'm going to give everybody from cabinet members down to the chef all total immunity, blanket immunity. Now, look, Biden did that never before. But there's also mass insider trading. You know, the Democrats are kings, but Trump's giving them run for their money. All the sons of cabinet members, Bessette doesn't have a son, but all the other ones literally are engaged in insider trading, war profiteering, all sorts of weird, you know, Bitcoin stuff that the Democrats are going to come back on them. But now they're being given total blanket immunity. In the first Trump administration, we saw very little grift, very little scams. He was really true to what he was saying. He had a lot of neocons around, but this is far worse. So the administration is crashing and burning. He had a 56 approval rating, his highest ever, 8 months ago. Now it's at 33. He is in free fall. I believe when new polls come out, it'll be even lower. Mark Mitchell's a pro-Trump, you know, one of the top pollsters in the world at Rasmussen. He was the first to say, he's seeing a slide. Trump won like 80% of new independent voters. Now it's 80% against him. He's lost over a third of under the age 45 males. All his margins are going away. Well, he doesn't have to run again. Midterms, we're going to get slaughtered. Probably lose the Senate.
Fucking right.
And then the Democrats are going to go totally ape. That's why, with the numbers coming in, their internal polling, he says, don't worry, when they get back in, they can't put you in prison because I'm going to give you all blanket immunity. So this is absolute panic mode. I already knew what was going on inside. I told you a month ago or longer. So I just have to report to you, lying to everybody and saying the house isn't on fire when it is, it's just going to get us destroyed. So we need to have a real come to Jesus moment when we put pressure on Trump. He starts making the right decisions. That's why the neocons in Israel are so mad and attacking us and calling for us to be put in prison. Claim we're foreign agents because I put pressure on his ass to get him back on track.
Yeah.
Because I have a responsibility to do that. I have a responsibility to tell people the truth. Not like, why does Jones do this? Who's paying him? I've been on air before there was social media. I tell you what I know, what I believe. I'm tomorrow's news today. What I told you, you can take to the bank. So I just gave you a bunch of examples of stuff I broke from inside. Okay, this is directly from people in the meetings.
Are you not entertained?
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance.